Sometimes.
Ezra Blyberg.
Yes.
Ah, welcome, welcome. Okay. Ragazzi parents.
I've had the privilege also of speaking a few times at the shul, I can tell you also, I've also had the privilege of hearing Rabbi Jensen speak many times. I promise you, you will really enjoy what he has to offer. And it really is a tremendous chus. It was a big drive for him to come over here. He lives actually in Modena, in Brooklyn. It's also wonderful he was able to fulfill his dream of living here. Finally got out of the shul, which was not so easy to do. But it's great to have him here, and it's really nice to find out, especially during the pandemic, to come over here and get a share to you guys. So, again, I do apologize for you being stuck in there. But
yes. All right. Thank you very much.
Are you safe here, by the way?
I'm good. I'm good.
Okay.
So I'm here for three reasons, really. One is to teach Torah. Second, to show respect to Rabbi Ginsburg. And third, because I now possess this Ishur to travel anywhere I want, anytime, as long as I'm heading to Yeshivat Migdal HaTorah. So that is gold in Israel today.
You can tell me what you paid for that.
Right. Yeah, so it is very strange circumstances that we're living under now. I want to wish everyone a Gemar Chatima Tova. And I think one thing that we should understand is that with all the madness in the world today, there's certain constants. And obviously one constant is the Aseret Yemei Teshuva and Yom HaKippurim and the need for Teshuva and the need for us to reckon with our pasts and our present and our future. So what I wanted to do tonight is really understand one cryptic Gemara that I think will add powerful insights into our understanding of Teshuva in the process of Teshuva, but on the surface is not so easy to understand. So the Shir is called, as you see based on the Gemara, Zdonot Shgagot Uzchuyot, intentional sins, unintentional negligent sins, and merits, virtues. And it's based on the Gemara in Yom HaDaf Pei Vav Amud Bet. And this is our starting point. Amar Rish Lakish, number one. Rish Lakish said, Gedola tshuva, tshuva's great, shezdonot nasad lo kishkagot. When a person does tshuva, his intentional sins become unintentional, negligent sins. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, we'll read it the Shabbos in Haftarah, Shuva Yisrael al Hashem Elokecha, ki chashalta bavonecha. Repent, return Israel to God, because you have stumbled in your iniquity. Avon, ha'avon meizidhu. And avon is defined as an avera, which is done intentionally. Nonetheless, v'kakari le'michshol. But the pasuk calls it a michshol, a failure, a stumble. In other words, it's something that we would tend to minimize its severity. It's not as serious as something intentionally. What's kashalta, kishalon? You fall, you slip, you trip over something. That's a kishalon. You stumble. You don't stumble into an avon. An avon is mezid. So that's the proof. Rish Lakish said, you see, Shuvi Yisrael Hashem Elokecha, ki chashalta bavonecha. If you do tshuva, what you did originally as an avon is instead construed as a kishalon. Fine? So the Gemara asks, Ini, how could this be? V'omer Rish Lakish, the same Rish Lakish, once said, Gedola tshuva, shezdonot nasad lo gizchuyot. Tshuva is great because your intentional sins will now be construed as merits. Shenemar, uveshuv rasha mirishato, when a wicked person repents from his wickedness, ve'asa mishbaru tzedakah aleihem u'yichyeh, and he does justice and righteousness, on those he will live. Meaning, a rasha sins, but then he does mishbaru tzedakah, aleihem hu yichyeh, Rashi says, number two, al kol ma she'asa va'af al averot. Even his sins are going to be contributing factors to his ongoing life. That is to say, they're construed as merits. So how could it be? Zdonot nasad lo kishgagot kizchuyot. They're not the same. So the Gemara answers lo kashya. Kan me'ava, kan me'ira. One, tshuva me'ava, tshuva that comes from love. There, in that case, zdonot nasad lo kizchuyot. They're like merits. But if the tshuva comes from yira, pachad, fear, usually fear of sin, then, you know, fear of punishment, then that tshuva, those donut are then construed as shkagot. Now, obviously the first one is a little easier to understand. Why is donut nased lo kishkagot? It's easier to understand because how do we define shogeg? If you think of Hilchot Shabbat, how do we define shogeg? What shogeg? Iyadia. It's a lack of knowledge. It's an ignorance. Classically, it's a person is ignorant either that it was Shabbat or that the action that he did was a malacha. There's some lack of knowledge, a lack of awareness involved. So here, when he sinned, now that he did tshuva, so what he did intentionally, but he was lacking a bit of information that's important. Either that what he was doing was asur, or that he's standing for Kadosh Baruch Hu and saying he knew nothing entirely. So now, that bit of information supplements his deed. His deed is cast in a different light. Zdonot naset lo kishkagot. I note, parenthetically, that shogeg is not an accident, or something against your will. Onus is an accident. Shogeg means you did something negligently. You weren't careful in what you had to do. So we understand, on some level, zdonot nasel kishgagot, because when he did it b'mezid, he was lacking some information, all right? Usually it's not that it was asur, but that is a malchus Hashem, there's an HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who cares? Who watches? Who judges? And therefore he did it. But why is it necessary for the Zodon to become Shogeg? Meaning, why is Rish Lakish's first mimer even necessary? What does it add? Why must it be a transformation? Why do we have to say that what he did was an Avon and now it's a Shgaga? Why? Why can it be an Avon and now he has Kapara? He did Shuv, he has Kapara. Why does the nature of the Avon have to necessarily change? Why not take it one step at a time? Mezid, all right, he did something intentionally. Tshuva, he repented. Kapara, he gained atonement. And Kadima, we move forward. Why must Rish Lakish, so to speak, lock us into the position that now what he did before is a shogeg? Why is that? That answer will... Yeah, you want to say something?
Yeah, possible.
Please.
It could be that if you just got forgiven when you did Shiva and you moved on, that's all well and good, but there's no...
Saying it's a transformation from Avon to Shogeg. Note, though, if you did an Aver b'Shogeg, you're still Tshuva. Why do we bring a Karman Chatas? A Chatas comes for Shogeg. There is no Karman for Mezid, only for Shogeg. So you're right, there's a transformation. So tell me again, why is it indispensable? Why must we posit that a Zodon becomes a Shgoga? So you should live with that sense of transformation.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
I'm just curious, like, how do we know that, like, we're supposed to say that, like, this statement is supposed to be taken, like, absolutely literally? Because all it says, like, a lot of things are clearly not to be meant literally, like, if you skip out on
right.
That's
yeah, so how do we know this should be taken literally? That's a good question. I think the answer is that Rish Lakish is making a particular point about our understanding of tshuva. That what is tshuva supposed to be? Tshuva is supposed to reach a level where what you do b'mezid intentionally, either because of the tshuva becomes shogeg, or it even becomes a schut. All right? So you say literally, I mean, how God judges it. That's how I understood the pasuk. We trust Chazal, but I think the main point that he's making is trying to clarify for us what the process of tshuva is. And when we understand mezid, Shgaga, Zchut, will understand a little more about Tshuva. Yes.
So I want to build off what Abraham said.
Yes.
I think if we look at it in the context of the Torah being
Right. So I purposely held off on raising the second point, which at first glance would be the more troubling part of it. How is an intentional sin converted into a merit? All right? We'll get to that. Your point is well taken. Let's just go back to the first point. Why is it even necessary to have this progression? Why can't we just leave it as it is? Mazed, tshuva, the sin is erased, and then we move on. Yes?
I guess at the very least this is sort of defining the sins, and sort of, and merits as sort of these discrete, sort of like a, boxes, being neutral.
Please don't say boxes around me, all right?
Oh.
Yeah. Think the answer will present itself as we go on, but just thinking and assimilating what everyone's been saying, I think what we're looking at is a person does tshuva, but what happens to the sin? That sin has affected him. It's corrupted his soul to a certain extent. But once we say there's tshuva, what happens to the sin, to an avon, to a sin done b'mezid, is that the nature of the sin changes. The very quality of the sin changes because the motivation behind it, the understanding that produced it, is now completely changed. Meaning once we have removed the yidiyah, now with yidiyah, so that's where the avon is, it's no longer there, but it becomes a shogeg. And a shogeg, of course, still requires tshuva. He has to account for why he didn't know what he should have known. But that's the easier part of it. We'll get to the harder part. Yes, sir?
Are we looking at...
But think, if you just look at the source that Rish Lakish quotes, Shuvi Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha ki chashalto bavonecha. Who uttered the pasuk? It was Hoshea. But Hoshea is conveying Hashem's prophecy. So it could exist in both contexts. I think, though, primarily, it's talking to us. How we should now approach our sins, if our tshuva is sincere. But how we approach our sins, since this is the niv, this is the message that God gave to his Navi, so it's going to affect God's judgment of us as well. That is to say, this is the system that he set up. But let's go to the tougher question. The tougher question, and we'll see a lot of the mefarshim I cite here have trouble with it. The better question is zdonot nasa lo kizchuyot, that if you do tshuva, I mean tshuva me'ava, then what your intentional sin is now construed as a merit. So how could that be? How could it be a zchut? How does that work? So if that's the case, and it has to be the case because Rish Lakish said it. Turns out there's two ways to get a zchut. One is to do something that brings you a zchut, and the second way is to sin, b'mezid, and do tshuva me'ava, and then to get a zchut. How could that be? How could you come to the same result through two completely different pathways? Something seems to be missing here. And of course, underlying this whole thing is, what's the difference between tshuva meyir and tshuva meyava? Yes.
I think part of the reason why you might find that.
Yes, you understand it in terms of kirv lamakom. It's actually a very good point. I was thinking before, like, what difference does it make really, whether a zodon is a shgaga or a mezid? Why should it make a difference? It's like, you know, put it in terms I can understand. The official score changes a wild pitch to a pass ball. Alright? So the runner still scored from third. What's the difference really? But in terms of accountability, whether it's the pitcher or the catcher, it makes a difference. So when I'm saying accountability in terms of baseball, you're saying in terms of Kiruv L'Makom, which of course is a much better way to talk about it, especially in this context. Kiruv L'Makom plays a role. You become closer to God as a result. But nonetheless, something seems to just be startling that we look at a mezid and say, oh, tshuva me'ava, now it's a schut. I'm willing to understand, accept, quite frankly, be exhilarated by the notion that you committed a sin b'mezid, and I did tshuva me'ava, and that sin as if it never happened. It's completely erased, expunged from the record, all right? That's not what Rish Lakish is saying. Rish Lakish is saying it's now z'chus, okay? Why would that be? To put it in legal terms, a person's arrested for a crime, all right? And he's acquitted, all right? He's acquitted, it's expunged from his record. It's as if the arrest never happened. But it doesn't mean he gets any credit for it, gets any merit for it. No, you're back to square one. Here we say, no, he's not back to square one. He's ahead of the game. He has made progress in his Kiruv L'Makom. Why should that be? Yes?
Because, let's say, like, before you act, you're, like, before you even sin to begin with, let's say it's, like, some specific area of vice or something along those lines, then before you act, you're, like, your state, like, your relationship to that type of behavior, whatever personality traits involved, is kind of like, it's not defined yet. It's kind of like in a superposition, for lack of better terms. So when you sin, you decide that you create that like negative trait within yourself. But when you return from that, if you actually do tshuva me'ava, then you end up deciding that you want that trait to be a positive one as opposed to a negative one. So therefore, you went from...
So what's the process? That's what we have to get to. And how do you create that process of tshuva me'ava that you really are on a higher level from before? Yes?
But when you say that the initial sin transforms, does that mean that sin, once you get to part four, is that sin just completely expunged from the record, or does it still exist but it's canceled out?
So I would think if you want to use that terminology, zdonot naset lo kishgagot, it's not canceled out. It's like it becomes not a misdemeanor but a violation. All right. Whereas naset lo kishgagot, it's not that it's canceled out. It's that it's enhanced. All right. We'll see later something said by the Arve Nochal, which makes the point very clear. Like, he focuses on the polar opposite of an Avera and a Mitzvah. How can Avera be a Mitzvah? What could you possibly do to make an Avera into a Mitzvah? So a lot of Mefarshim wrestle with this, more with the second than with the first, but the first as well. Yes?
So, I guess not really an incredible, I don't really have a great way to explain it other than trying to do a metaphor. It would be like, let's say you're trying to make a new law to stop this certain crime that's happening. The person you'd want to ask what you should stop against would be a person who's already gotten away with crimes, because he knows the loophole in the system, and then he can help you close it better than just asking.
Oh, so it's like the hackers become the cybersecurity experts.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. Okay. It's still amazing. I'd say it's a schut. Why is it a schut, though?
Once you're committing to be better than that.
Right. Okay. Let's see. Let's start with...
Of course, Rich Lucas would say this.
Why do you say that?
Because he was a bandit for a long
time. All right, so we'll get back to that also. It's a very good point. Let's see. So let's start with the Marsha. I want to bring a few different approaches, and we'll see how the Gedolei HaAchronim looked at this issue.
Just because you're bringing it up now, isn't that the famous when we pass them like Reish Lakish over Yochanan when it comes to things like weapons, because we say Reish Lakish would know what that is?
We'll get to that Gemara in a little while. I didn't cite that piece, but we'll see. So the Marsha says, right here, Alatar, in the Gemara Yoma, number 3, Nasu lo kishkagod, hocha vadai de'ika leperusha kepashe kedila'el. See, references a Gemara on Amud Aleph, that says, also, kan miyira kan me'ava, shuvam shavavim me'kara. Rashi says, kishetasu tshuva, mala lechem ke'ilu tchilat chet shel narut ushtut. That when you do tshuva, we will construe your original sin as if it was a product of foolishness, of youthful immaturity. And that's what David said, chatatnu rab shai al tizkar, kichastu chazkar. The sins I committed, even the iniquities of my youth, God don't remember. And he's referring to Ratzalomar, Acha Sha'asa David Shuva Kibalov Yisur Mimasid Batsheva. After David repented from his sin of Batsheva, Bikesh Makarish Baruch Chatat Rab Shai Shem Avonot Gidolim Al Tizkar Li Orotan. The sins of my youth do not hold against me anymore. Avol kechastecha zechor li otan shoy kishkagot nechshavim kefi midat chastecha v'lo kemida basav adam. People will always hold it against me. People are not as compassionate as God. But God at least, it's shogeg. Consider it as a shogeg. That's the first part. Hachanami kishaose tshuva mala olav ki'ilu tchilat avon b'shogeku. When a person does tshuva, at least the initial impetus to sin was based on some flawed understanding. And that's how David appealed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's donut naslo kishgagot. But the Marsha, like others, struggled with the second part. Hu lechora dover tamua. That point about zdonot naslo kishchuyot, it's puzzling. Denimtza chotei niskar. Comes out that a person sins and benefits as well. Because you sin, you do tshuva, and you're ahead of the game. Azchus. V'yesh lomar do'ose tshuva me'ava k'demasik b'dehochi ari v'adai do'ose tshuva gemura u'mosif b'masof ha'tovim yater mikdei atzorech l'gabei oto avon. V'harei otan masim tovim shemosif heim nasim lo kizchuyot. The Marsha takes a very interesting approach. How does it become a zchut? It's not like the Marsha says the tshuva me'ava is magically transforms an intentional sin into a zchut. What the zchut is that you had some tosefet, you had some supplement, umosif b'masav atovim, meaning tshuva gemura is not just repentance from the instant sin, but it's a commitment to do more. In other words, the Marsha adds a quantitative aspect to the notion of schud. Schud doesn't mean here that the avon is now transformed into a schud. It rather means that because of the avon plus tshuva gemura, tshuva me'ava, you did additional things. You did more. Let's say you were cheap, all right, miserly. So now you gave more money to tzedakah than you have to give. There's some tosefet involved. As the sin is then a catalyst for more than zdonot nase lo kishkagot. What's the Marsha saying? That what the Gemara means is that there's an additional chefta shel tshuva that's involved. Or there's an additional quantitative dimension to your relationship with God, to your shmirat mitzvot. Something is added to it. It's that addition that's the schut. Not that the avera now is a schut, but the additional that you have to do, that you will want to do, because of tshuva me'ava, that's the schut. So you see how the Marsha maneuvers his way out of the conundrum of how an avera becomes a mitzvah. How does a mezid become a schut? He says, no, the mezid does not become a schut. Rather, the tshuva me'ava erases the mezid, expunges the mezid, but the schut is that now it leads you to do more. If you do more, then we understand why you're ahead of the game. Yes?
Does it erase the mezid, or does it cancel it out?
Cancels it out. Well, the tshuva cancels it out, but the schut, which is a natural result of the tshuva me'ava, that's the tosefet, which is a natural result of the tshuva me'ava, that becomes the schut. Yes.
The tshuva gets rid of it,
The Marshal understands it as a quantitative entity. Yes.
He uses the same logic for both statements. So how is the Marshal able to differentiate such a thing?
Well, if you read on, one second, just read on in the next line. Ukra de mighty mochiach kein. He says the pasuk Rish Lakish brought proves this. Shenemar uveshuv Rasha mirishata. The Rasha does tshuva vasa mishpor tzedaka. It's not just that he did tshuva, but now he did mishpat tzedaka too. Aleihem yichyeh demashma mishpat tzedaka shehosif lasos al tshuvato aleihem chayo yichyeh. That's the pshat. Yes, you understand now. It's the pasuk speaks of mishpat tzedaka. It was the first pasuk spoke of ki chashalta bavonecha. Your avon is now kishalon. Mezid is shogeg. But this pasuk talks about tshuva, right? Vishuv rasha mirishato, and he's also tzedakah mishpat. The tzedakah mishpat the Marsha is positing is not directly related to the rishos. It's an
addition.
What's that?
He uses the same lashon.
What's the same lashon?
The lashon of Shizonos, Nasos, Lo, and then it adds in Kiyas something.
No, kizchuyot, right.
So, but
in other words, he's explaining why one is shogeg, one is zchus. Yeah, that's the difference. Yes, sir.
Why
I'm sorry.
Why would find a contradiction between the statements if they're talking about completely separate things?
Well, what led the Gemara to ask the question was that you had two different statements of Rish Lakish, all right? Two different statements that on the surface would conflict. So now he said they don't conflict. They're just talking about two different cases. It's explanatory.
If they're talking about two separate things entirely, then if one's saying...
Well, I guess it's a common thing in the Gemara. You'll have two different statements, all right, that seem similar until a different point. If two different people had said them, we would just try to understand. But that Rish Lakish said them, we have to understand why. Apparently,
you obviously have to answer what the plurality of
right. So right. So apparently, notice the Marsha doesn't discuss Yir or Ava; he just assumes it from the Gemara. But apparently, the first type of tshuva of Yira is not necessarily going to result in Vasa Mishpat Tzedaka. What will result in Vasa Mishpat Tzedaka is tshuva me'Ava.
I see that, but I don't see how he's able to infer the Gemara's question from that in the Havu.
Well, the Gemara's question is, Eni, how could he have said two completely different things?
It's not two completely different things.
Only as the Marsha understands it. Right. By the way, the problem with the Marsha is, maybe this is what you are leaning to, the Marsha's bringing in an added dimension that doesn't seem to be there. It was a simple pshat in the Gemara, is that the Avon naset lo kischuyot, not the Avon plus masim acherim, that is the schud. So I hear your question. Yes.
Okay, I was bothered.
I just wanted to say the Marsha's approach, as he says, the schus is something quantitative. That's what it is. Yes.
Okay, I was bothered by what you were just saying about the, like, it seemed like he's taking this added dimension or putting this added dimension. I was wondering if what Marsha is saying is that when you're coming from a perspective of you have just done Avera.
Right. So, he's not saying that, and nor would I suggest that Tshuva Me'ira, Tshuva Me'ara, that's quantitative. Meaning if full Tshuva, Tshuva Me'ava, Tshuva Gemura is 100, then Tshuva Me'ira is 50. No, it's just two different motivational sources for the Tshuva. They stem from different parts of the human personality and our understanding of reality, and so they eventuate in different results as well. How we approach sin is going to be affected by our understanding of what Tshuva Me'ira is and what Tshuva Me'ava is. I'm only suggesting these different approaches, right, to see which one strikes us, but then we'll conclude with something which I think not only answers all the questions, but will give us a real grounding in what tshuva is. The second is number four. It's the Tosefet Yom HaKippurim. It's a commentary on Yoma, by the Maram Ibn Chabib, or Moshe Ibn Chabib, who was born in Salonika, became the Rishon Lezion here in 1698. So he says as follows. The Yesh Liponim, he's bothered by the same question, and again, most of the Mefarshim took up the second point, not the first. Hechefshar Sheguf HaVeri Yaseh Zchud. How is it possible that the substance of sin should become a Zchud? So you see, already, he doesn't accept what the Marsha is saying, that it's not that the Guf HaVer becomes a Zchud, but some Tosefed. He says rather as follows. Yesh Lomar, Dekevon de Tshuva Me'ulahi Ba'oto Perek, Kidlakaman, V'chevon Shele Ovar in the past, To'am Tamachet, V'hikir B'mayim Genuvim Yumtaku, since he tasted sin, and stolen waters were sweet. Meaning, it's amazing, he enjoyed the sin. V'afilu hachi perash me'aver me'avat Hashem, and now he withdraws from the sin, he separates from it because of his love of God. Nimsa da'ota vera sha'osa kvar garma haprisha. So it comes out that the avera that he did caused this separation. Shehu zchut gadol. That's a great zchut. Mashena came b'tzadik b'me'olom lo chata. U'paga b'isha zona perish v'meno. Ein lo zchut gadol. It's not like a great tzadik encounters a prostitute and say, I'm not going to partake of her. I'm not going to purchase her services. That's not such a big schut, because he's a great tzaddik. But someone who tasted pleasure, and then, I've heard this from Bali Tshuva, by the way. We shouldn't, think differently. Some of them really enjoyed cheeseburgers. They really did. I may not like it, but they really enjoyed it. And for many, it's a big hardship. So that, since mezid and tshuva me'ava is from a recognition of God, we'll see that later. So therefore, since it caused them not only to be a poresh, but to be a poresh in a way that uproots from them something that was a great desire, that is to say, he's not horrified by sin. He's not repulsed by sin, but rather he foregoes an illicit pleasure only because of Avat Hashem. That prisha, that separation, that abstention is a great zchut. What's the difference in the Marsha, the Maram Ibn Chabib? Is the Marsha's talking in a quantitative sense, adding something because a new Maaseh HaMitzvah. The Maram Chabib is talking about the process of tshuva, that the process of tshuva that comes me'ava is going to be completely different, because you take a rasha and you transform his person, transform his desires, transform his id, really. He no longer wants something he once had, me'avat Hashem, that already is a schut. Meaning, it was that avera that became the catalyst for a higher understanding of what he's supposed to do in the world. Yes. Rather than just, he doesn't want to get the onesh. Now he becomes a mamin, and he knows he can't do it. He doesn't want to get the onesh, so that's ready meyira. That's different. That's zdonot nasal kishkagot. Yes.
Can't these both be right? Like, why is this mutually exclusive with the
Marsha? I'm not saying either are wrong. I'm saying they're different approaches. You're correct.
They can both be true at the same time.
There's no question about it. No question about it. Yeah, famous aphorism of Chazal, different strokes for different folks. It's true. But I just want to, we should understand how they looked at it differently. The Maram Ibn Chabib, he knew of the Marsha. Marsha was before him. But he didn't see it necessary to add something. He saw from the inherent process of tshuva. That process of tshuva me'av is such that it leads to a schut. Look at number five, the Nachat Yaakov. That's the Bala Nesivos, or Yaakov of Lisa, the great Nesivos HaMishpat. So he writes as follows. What's the great zchut? Again, same question. Kasha Lavin, Shavon, Shasa, Yechashav, Lo Kizchut. He did an aver b'mezid, and now it's a zchut. So he answers, Dina Tshuva, he mitzvah aseh. Tshuva is a positive commandment. Vadinotein sha tshuva lo yoil. He says it would be logical to say that tshuva should just result in kapara. And like I started with that question, Kapara, that's it. You're atoned. You committed a sin. You did tshuva, and now your sin is atoned for, and that's chasdei Hashem. Rish Lakish comes and says, no, it's more than that. Lo rak sheyichupar lo avon shasa, elo dioter mizeh, even more than that, osa kadosh baruch hu berachamav. It's chasdei Hashem. Racham Hashem, God's mercy. Shaya tshuva nekar ha'avon legamri. Through tshuva, the sin is uprooted completely. Ukeilu la'sa'o klal damei. And it's as if it was never done. Va'tshuva she'asa nechshav lo kishar mitzot she'asa shemikabel olav schar. Listen, what is he saying? What's the schut according to the Bala Nesivos? The schut is the tshuva. In other words, tshuva me'ava is its own mitzvah. So therefore, that's the zchut, all right? If you think about it, it's a very straight argument. You sin b'mezid, you did tshuva. That sin is nekar legamrei. Why should be a zchut? The zchut is not what, it's not the, nothing happens in the sin. The sin is gone. The zchut is the tshuva me'ava. Think like, Eitan, what's your name? Bleiberg?
Ezra.
Ezra, I'm sorry. Ezra, also with an E, okay. The tshuva me'ava, that becomes the zchut. So, unlike the Marsha, who brought in really a Tosefet from the outside, the Bala Nesivos looks at it internally. That's just straight. I mean, it's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, of course. He's the Nesivos HaMishpah, Nechash HaMishpah. He says, you have Avon, Tshuva Me'avo. The Avon is uprooted. What's the Schut? The Tshuva is the Schut. Because Tshuva on that level has to be a Schut. Yes. It's not as great as chut. That's correct. You know, but we could understand that even on our low level, that if a person repents at a fear of punishment, all right, we're not talking about yiras haromimus, awe of God's transcendence. If a person, like the Rambam says in the last parak of Hilchos Teshuva, if a person repents because they're afraid of getting punished, all right, that's not as high a level. In fact, we know this from our own lives, all right. If a person, I don't know, a person that doesn't speed because he's afraid of getting caught, he's not on as high a level as a person doesn't speed because it's dangerous, it's rude, it's could hurt other people, it's the law. What's that?
I would think it would be enough, though, to not make it just a shgaga. I think it would be enough to at least make it complete.
Tshuva meyiro?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely kapara, but the person's not on as high a level. We'll see why in a little while. Yes.
So when he does he gets to the mitzvah after he does a mitzvah, right? So that kind of sounds like a mitzvah above the avera, because he can do a mitzvah through
a mitzvah above avera. Yeah. So there's a different way to look at it, and that is what was said earlier: chotei niskar. All right. As the Gemara Pesachim is a whole list, Yesh Chotei v'Niskar, you know, people who sin and they benefit, Yesh Chotei v'Lo Niskar, there's a person who has a mitzvah and loses it, etc. So yeah, it's rather than a mitzvah above Aver, which is a technical term, Chotei v'Niskar is a better term. Because, yeah, it's true, had he not sinned, then he would never reach this level. That is true. So, I'm sure you get to sometime this year, the Rambam in the Shmona Prakim, who takes up this issue head-on, discussing the difference between the Chassid Me'ula, I mean the perfected, maybe he did already, the perfected person, and the Kaveshet Yitzro, the person who struggles with his inclination, who's on a higher level. So you see the Rambam there, I think it's the sixth parak or seventh parak. It depends. Depends on the nature of the Avera, but nonetheless. Chotei Niska, it's a valid point. But nonetheless, what is he saying? You're right, it's Chasdei Hashem. It's a tremendous Chesed Hashem. It's Rachmei Shomayim, that God should allow a sinner. Because we think, you do something, it can't be expunged. No. In terms of the Gavra, can be expunged. It can be expunged. That is true. Sometimes consequences remain, right? Move us to Yuchalisko, and that's possible. But in terms of the Gavr, he's a different person. Ain't he also ish? Like the Rambam says, he's totally different. One more, then we'll get into the fun area. And this is the Arvei Nochal, Rav David Eibeschitz, who's a Rav of all places in the late 18th, early 19th centuries in Russia, Ukraine, and then he came here, lived in and died in Tzfat. Best known to us I think he's unrelated to Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz, but best known to us as the author of the Levushei Srad, which is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. So he says as follows. I took a little, I'll just quote orally a little larger citation. He says, and this is in Sefer Arvei Nochal, Harei kegavah shamayim me'al aretz, as the heavens are higher than the earth, Cain havdel mitzvah me'avera. That's the difference between a mitzvah and a sin. Ve'hem shnei hafachim mamish min ha-kotzeh la-kotzeh. They're two polar opposites. So if that's the case, how could it be that a person does a sin and any good comes of it, even with tshuva? And he analogizes it to a person who goes to the palace of the king. And let's say he takes the king's scepter and he breaks it over his knee, all right? And then he repairs it. Like, you know, as good as it was before, and he apologized to the king. If the king doesn't kill him, he should be happy. But now we're going to say he deserves schar for that? It's a schut? Or he says he goes to the king and he maledicts the king, he blasphemes the king. And then he apologizes. And he apologizes sincerely. And he apologizes because he loves the king, all right? Fine, but we're going to say it's a schar, it's a schut. What's a schut? Again, it's enough he shouldn't be killed outright, executed. What's the schut here? That's the question that Reb David Eibishitz raised. So he answers, Ki be'emet, ein mistaber she'me'avera ye'mitzvah. It makes no sense to say that a sin can become a mitzvah. If that's the case, Zdonot Naso Kizhuyot has to be redefined. What do you say?
Did you say that like most instances where people sin it's because they're presented with two options? One case is like one option is like let's say you decide not to go to davening. So one option involves like if you were to go to davening you get schar for going to davening, but if you don't then it's tzedera because you didn't fulfill the nasa. Let's say you did tshuva or something, right? So could you say that
when you chose the other option, therefore you subsequently get stood for that. It's not just that you subsequently pretend that situation doesn't happen, but because you did tshuva, it makes it. So let's see, he says a similar thing to what you're saying, Ezra. Look at number six. Kasher shov tshuva me'avo, oset tshuva gal gamal machshevet averot shasa. He does tshuva even for the thoughts of sin that predated the sin, even precipitated the sin. V'mkein nia machshava tova v'kadosh baruch hu mitzarfu l'masa, becomes a good thought that God now adjoins to the deed. Ach b'tshuva meyira eina osa tshuva el al masa atzmo v'lo al machshava. Tshuva meyira, he's unconcerned with the machshava, with the motivation, with the predicate for the sin. What he's just concerned about is the deed itself. Meaning what? Rav David Eibishitz says is that it's a din in the gavra hashav, the way a person goes about tshuva. You see, there are several different elements to a sin. There is the machshava, there's the opportunity, there's the deed, there's the, I guess, even the hargosha, the feeling that a person has when he's performing the deed. Tshuva meyira is a tshuva that just focuses on the deed. Because after all, the deed is the sin. The machshava is not the sin. Like the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eina mitzarif machshava l'avera. We're only, except for Avodah Zarah, we're not punished for the thoughts behind the sin, only for the sin. I'll give you an analogy. I was once a lawyer many moons ago. In a lay understanding of law, motive matters, all right? A guy kills someone, a guy steals, and the media wants to know, why did he do it? What was his motive, all right? So I'm here to tell you, motive is like very interesting in terms of a narrative. It plays no role at all in law, in adjudication. It doesn't matter in terms of guilt or innocence. Maybe in terms of sentence it'll matter, but in terms of the deed itself, it doesn't matter at all. That's why a lot of purists, originalists, like myself, I digress for a moment, oppose the notion of hate crimes. Because what should be the difference, what a person's motivation was in the act? Should not matter at all. A kills B for no reason, or A kills B because he doesn't like his ethnicity. The punishment should be the same. There's no enhancement. It's the deed that matters, not the machshava. Tshuva meir is a tshuva that relates only to the masa and not the machshava, because it comes from fear of punishment. You're punished not for machshavot. You're punished for masim. Tshuva me'av is different. Their fear of onesh is not a factor at all. So tshuva me'av encompasses, incorporates also the machshava as well. So what then is the schut? Tshuva is on the maaseh, but tshuva me'av is on the machshava too. That's the schut. Because now the machshava itself, that was not a sin. That's why you don't have these two hafachim that he spoke of. And he ends with another analogy. It's like a person goes to the palace and does something that doesn't hurt the king at all. But nonetheless, he, because of his great love for the king, feels that he did something that slighted the king. And he apologizes profusely for it. And the king says, the king realizes that this apology that came from really was almost an inconsequential act, that apology shows his great love and that he's overwhelmed by the av of the person. And he says, that's the pasuk we say, we'll say it a few times in Yom Kippurim, Yazov Rosh Darko, the Rosh abandons his path, that is, the Masa, the Yishoven Machshavotav. When the person drawn to sin is able to completely obliterate the machshava that precipitated and underlay the sin, v'yashova l'Hashem v'rachameyo. That is tshuva. Yes, sir.
How can you redefine, so to say, Ava and Hira? I mean, because Hira is saying that Ava is when you both take care, when you do tshuva for both the act and the thoughts, and Hira is only the action. But I mean, you can, out of fear, do tshuva for both thoughts and the action. Out of love, only do tshuva for the action. So,
in theory, yes, but you're talking then about tshuva meyira plus. In other words, if your fear is onesh, so yeah, the focus is on the deed. You may say, I better acknowledge the machshava that led to the masa, because if I don't understand what within my personality drove me to do it, then I might succumb. But that's more than just yira, all right? That's already an attempt to understand his nature in a way. It's not quite avas Hashem, because he's not doing it out of love of God.
You could fear, but I mean, if you have this understanding of God, you can fear more, and because of that, and because of the understanding, you do both the you choose for both the action and the thoughts, maybe even more than you would have done out of honor.
You think tshuva meyira may lead a person to contemplate his machshava more than tshuva me'ava?
I think it's very possible.
In theory, you're correct. I mean, it depends on the person as well,
yeah.
Right? I think, in our day, more people just focus on the deeds, all right? Take a simple case that none of you ever fall prey to, Lashon Hara, all right? Because none of us do. Lashon Hara. So, yeah. A person can commit to speak, to not to speak any Lashon Hara at all. All right. Wonderful. But it's not going to be as effective unless a person at least contemplates, even superficially, certainly more than superficially, well, what is it about me that inclines me to talk Lashon Hara? Is it my need for popularity? Is it my aggression towards this person, etc.? So you're correct. Any type of tshuva is going to require some reckoning with machshava, but on its core level, tshuva meyira need not. Because again, you're not going to be punished for the machshava. We can have all sorts of machshavos. Rabas machshavos belevish. We can't even control the machshavos. But deeds we can control.
What is tshuva apa'ava? also explore, not necessarily need the gods.
Say it again, I couldn't hear.
If you're doing Tripa Abhava,
right,
it's still not necessarily going to include your thoughts. And you could just say, out of, you know, Abhava, I'm going to
right. Well, that's that's his argument. That, in other words, he's trying to find a zchut which is not the hefech of the avera. So the avera is only in terms of the masa, but there's another dimension. There's another element. The element is machshava. So he says that's the zchut. It's a higher form of tshuva, because now not only has he uprooted the sin, he's uprooted the entire, you know, chain reaction from desire to performance. And that's a higher level.
This seems to me he's kind of doing away with the original year and Abba and changing that into year, what was Yira and its lower level of Chuba is now just considering the action, and what was Abba, this higher level of
Chuba. Yeah, I would say he's redefining it, but again, you know, the Gemara doesn't define it. The Rishonim do. The Gemara says, Kan mi Yira, Kan mi Abba. And then we're left to wrestle with several dimensions. We don't have to be, by the way, uniform or consistent, because you could have many different dimensions of Tshuva Meyira and many different dimensions of Tshuva Meyava. That's possible too. Okay. So now I want to get to the last point, which is Rav Kook in Arot HaTshuva. But I want to start in a different way. And here, what started me thinking is something that Rav Yigal Ariel wrote in the Sefer that he has on Tshuva. And that was raised before, I think Ezra raised it as well. And that's about Rish Lakish. So, as a general rule, we refrain from historicizing the Tanoim, the Amoraim, certainly in terms of Psak Halacha. In other words, we're not going to say that this Amora was Machmir, he said something as also or apostle, because he was in a bad mood, or he had a fight with his wife. And this Amora said something's Mutter because he was in a good mood that day. That we don't do. That would be Kfir to do. The question is, can you do something like that when it comes to a Garata? And he says yes, and he makes a compelling argument that it should be acceptable, that agarata, which is really a philosophy, sometimes intuition, sometimes insight into the value system of Torah, there's no doubt they're going to be informed by our background, by our experiences. Certainly midrashim are like that. I don't know if anybody would argue with that. That's why they're not as dispositive as the halachic portions of Torah. But he says, no, you look at Rish Lakish, it's not only this statement of Zdonot Nasid Lo Kishkogot Kishuyot. Rish Lakish has a whole slew of statements about Tshuva that, yeah, as was noted before, seem to arise or at least grow out of his personal experiences. He was a master of Tshuva. Disproportionately, he has Ma'amorim that reflect it. And they're not in one place. They're across, scattered across the Talmud. Gershin is Gayer, Kekotan Shenola Dami. There's an element of recreation. That was Rish Lakish. Bolitaher, Bolitame Poschenlo, Bolitaher Messiahinlo. Person comes to sin, so God opens the door. You have to walk through it. God doesn't encourage it. But Bolitaher Messiahinlo, so. Person sincerely wants to purify himself, he's helped from heaven. Poshe Yisrael, Ein Or Shel Gehenim Sholetet Bohem. Jews, even sinners, Meleim Mitzvot Kerimon. They're filled with mitzvos, like a pomegranate has seeds, and many others as well. So what in fact was Rish Lakish's story? So you all know, we'll get to it, the story in Bava Metzia. But there's a different account of Rish Lakish's tshuva that's from the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, and it's in number 10. It's Perek Membez. So the story goes as follows. Teid lecha koach ha-tshuva, borei mi Rav Shimon Lakish, shehoyahu shnei reyov beharim, gozlim v'choms in kol sheyavar alem baderech. They were brigands. They were robbers. They operated in the mountains. He and two friends, they would just mug people whenever they wanted to. Me'osa Reb Shimon. What did Reb Shimon do, Rish Lakish? He niach l'shnei re'ov shodidim beharim. He left them in the mountains. v'shov le'lokei avotav v'chol libo b'tzomu v'tfila v'yamashkim u'mariv l'veit ha'knesset l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He abandoned them and he repented to God with his whole heart, fasting and davening, go to shul, his osek b'Torah, matnot aniyim. Instead of stealing, now he gave more. V'lo shav al masav ramon, he never returned to his evil ways. V'nit ratzei tshuvato, and his tshuva was accepted. Uv'yom shemeid, on the day that he died, his two former colleagues, his henchmen, died as well. V'natnu l'Rab Shimon ba'otzer achayim l'shnei Rab Bishol tachtona. So Rab Shimon was triply rewarded in Olam Haba, as opposed to his confederates. V'amru shnei rei avnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ribon kolamim, yesh lefanecha maso panim, says two henchmen complained to God. What is their favoritism? This guy, Zehoyo Imanu Shodei Beharim, he was also a robber, like we were, a pirate. V'hu ba'otzer achayim, v'anu b'shol tachtit, we're in the netherworld. So God said to them, hey, yeah, Zeh osa tshuva b'chayov, v'atem lo asitem tshuva. He repented, you didn't. Hanach lanu, v'anu osim tshuva gedola. So they said, well, all right, we'll do tshuva now, now that we see it. Omar lohen ein tshuva el ad yom amita. There's no tshuva. Tshuva only is up to the day of death. By the way, there's a statement in the Gemara that Rishon afil pisum shal gehenom einam chozer mitshuva. That Rishon, even on the gates of Gehenom, don't repent. Who said that? It was Rish Lakish as well. According to this, Rish Lakish did tshuva for reasons that we don't know, but he just left them. Shav l'lokei avotav. The Gemara Bava Metzia begins in number 11, has a different understanding, at least on the surface. Peidal Amanal, very famous story. Yom achad havikasachir b'yochanam yardena. One day Rabbi Yochanan was bathing in the Jordan. Chazei Rish Lakish v'shavar liyardena batrei. Rish Lakish saw him and he jumped into the Jordan after him. Omar lei, Rabbi Yochanan said to him, Chelech la'oraita, you should use your strength for Torah. Omar lei, Rish Lakish said to Rabbi Yochanan, who was a very handsome man, Shufrech l'nashe, you should use your beauty for women. Let them benefit from you. Omar lei, Rabbi Yochanan said, responded, Ihadart bach, if you repent, Yahevna loch achoti, I'll give you my sister in marriage, to Shapira Minai. She's even more beautiful than I am. Kabelale, he repented. Boy lemahadilatui money, he then went to retrieve his belongings from the side of the Jordan. He wanted to jump back onto the bank. Lo matzi hadar, he couldn't do it. Rashi says in the end of 12, lo matzi lekfotz kavrishana, he couldn't do it like he did before. Why? Demishakibil olav ol tor tashash kocha. Right away, he lost some of his strength. Couldn't jump back. Akarye v'atniye, he learned Tanakh, he learned Mishnah, v'shavye gavra rabba, and he became the great, great Rish Lakish. By the way, one thing you may want to consider is, who's Rabbi Yochanan to offer his sister marriage to this bum? On what grounds? And yet he didn't, he accepted. So it seems, yes?
Also, why is that like such a great tshuva if he's like doing it for this reward of getting this sister's hand in marriage?
Yes, Atosos takes this up, not in the one I have in 13, but in the one right after that. And there's another case on the Daf after Pehei Amud Aleph, where Tosfos says he didn't do it for that reason. But that becomes something added. But Tosfos here, in number 13, does add something very interesting. Dibra Matril Ihadrut Bach. Why would Rabbi Yochanan just like offer, what kind of exchange is this? So apparently they knew each other from before. How do we know that? Mikan Omer Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam derived from here, Rish Lakish mitchila yada harbe. Rish Lakish was what we would call a datlash. He was a dati mishela avar. He was religious once. He knew something at one time. Ela sheparak ol Torah, he gave it up. V'nase am haaretz, Ve'osak belisviyut. He gave up Torah, he became a Namaretz, and he became a robber as well. Midika Omar Ihadrat Bach, when Rish Lakish said, come back. So Hadar here is a different language than Tshuva. Means come back to where you once were. Mashma Liot Kivatchilo Vil Tifrak Ol Torah Me Olecha. And don't throw away again the yoke of Torah. By the way, do these stories contradict each other? They could, but I prefer to think that they complement each other. That in fact, Rish Lakish, being a passionate person, was filled with energy, and it just had to be channeled in the right direction. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan saw that in him. And when he jumped into the river, he saw, first of all, the other two guys weren't with him. Something must be up. And then he saw as well that there's potential to transform him. What do I rate? Well, let's just look at Marsha number 14. Chelach l'raisa v'koch zesha yetzara l'raita k'shet asek ba hi mateshet chelach. He said, you have this great strength, this great power, this passion. So now use your passion for evil. But you could take the same passion and direct it to good, and then your pleasures and your fulfillments will be intellectual and spiritual, and yes, there'll be a concomitant diminution in your physical capabilities as well, because your focus will be elsewhere. That's Tushia, Torah's Mateshet Kocha Shel Adam. All right, let's understand something. Let's go to Rav Kook in the very first chapter of Orot HaTshuva. It's number 9 on top here. Rav Kook writes as follows: Et HaTshuva we find three different systems of tshuva that exist. Tshuva tivit, natural. Tshuva emunit, how do we explain that in English? Emunit, kind of faith, faith-based. All right, let's live with that. Tshuva sichlit, an intellectual tshuva. B'tshuva tivit, yesh shnei chalakim. In the natural tshuva, that's subdivided into two parts. Tshuva tivit gufanit and tshuva tivit nafshit. There's a natural physical tshuva and a natural spiritual tshuva. And now we have to understand what each is. What's tshuva tivit gufanit? So Rav Kook writes, it's really physical suffering. That halacha fosters a sense of moderation in our physical life, in our health. The Rambam says this, you know, in the Mohr, in the third book, that the Torah is a healthy system, right? You eat kosher, the Rambam says, you're healthy. All right, the Bar Minel rejected it completely, but the Rambam says, I know, because Yom Tov comes, we're eating like 10 meals, it's not so healthy. But nonetheless, the Rambam says, the lifestyle of Torah is designed to foster a healthy life. And Rav Kook goes on to say that Hamedicina oseket bazam lahamrei. Medicine deals with this a lot, but it doesn't have the answer for everything, as we see now the last 7 months. It doesn't have the answer. It tries, but we're human beings. But nonetheless, sometimes the body rebels against profligacy, against hedonism. It can't take it anymore, and especially when it comes to sin, eating things that are treif, all right? So the Rambam maintained, like others, eventually the body's going to rebel against it. If a person is profligate in many different areas of life, so the lowest level of tshuva is when a person thinks to himself, I'm on a bad way. And if I embrace the life of Torah mitzvot, which involve moderation, so at least I'll be able to cure that. That's a low level of tshuva. One step above that is tshuva tivit nafshit. That is, just like averos can harm your body, averot can harm your soul as well. What's that? Conscience, all right? That is guilt. Asher asar lakim et adam yashar. God made man to think straight, to think clearly. So the Rav Kook wrote that im nafsho adayin lo nishchato legamre, if your soul's not been completely corrupted, which is possible. I mean, it does exist in the world. your soul can be so corrupted that it's depraved, and even your conscience no longer exists. So conscience is not an altogether unreliable entity, but nonetheless, more or less, it works well for a normal soul. A Nazi, for example, his soul was so depraved that conscience did not operate as it usually did. So, a person is bothered by these pangs of conscience, by sin, v'hu mizdareiz l'ashuv l'taken et ha-me'uvat, ad asher yargish ki nimchachato. Now, a person is just moved, assiduous, to repair the sin, to rectify it, until he feels the sin has been completely erased. By the way, whose tshuva was that? This is the tshuva of Rish Lakish in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. This was the low level. Tshuva tivit nafshit. He felt his soul was awry, and the only way to straighten it out was to separate from his fellow gangsters. Now Rav Kook continues. There's another level on top of that. Tshuva emunit. It's a higher level. That's tshuva. It's a high level, by the way. It's influenced by the Torah, by the words of the Nevi'im. The Torah speaks of tshuva. The Nevi'im spoke at length about tshuva. Yirmiyahu, Yeshayahu, Treyasar. They spoke at length about tshuva. So a person takes it to heart. All the technicalities of how kapara is effected in the first parak of Hilchot Tshuva, by the way, these are all part of tshuva emunit. So that's a high level also. It's complicated. I'm sorry. It comes from mimakar hamasorat v'hadat. It comes from our tradition. It's a religious revival. All right? A person is turned on. And so he does tshuva. He goes through the processes, works for the individual, works for the tzibur as well. Hanevi'im mele'im hem dvarim nisgavim al dvar tshuva. Nevi'im were filled with accounts of this type of tshuva, this tochacha hatorit, all right, which is built on tshuva emunit. But there's still a higher level. And that level is tshuva sichlit. Tshuva sichlit is not yira, it's not pachad, it's not choli, but it's a realization of the mitzvot are the good in life, and averot are the bad in life, because this is the Ratzon Hashem. Turn back to the first page. It's at the bottom of number 7, which is where I ended this before I decided to add to it. Hatshuva sichlit, again, it's the end of Perek Aleph in Arot HaTshuva of Rav Kook. Hatshuva sichlit, the intellectual tshuva. Hi otah shekvar rachsholat ha-tevid v'emunid. It's already inherited, it's already possessed, built on the natural and faith-based tshuva. Shekvar bala madrigal, you know, he's right in the highest level. Asher lorak tsar gufin afshiruchani. It's not just physical or spiritual pain that bothers the person, and not just the influence of the Mesorah, or pachad onesh, or roshem kol vrachokum mishpat, habamen el pinim hanefesh, garmim heim et hatshuva. It's not all these external causes, but rather, kiyim hakara brura. It's a clear understanding that comes from a perspective of the world and what the perfected life is. Asher asher after the other types of tshuva or realizations left their imprint, then this tshuva sichlit takes over the mind. And of course, the mind is what controls the human being. Tshuva zo. Haklame kodmot. This tshuva, which encompasses what preceded it, the other tshuva, he malaya kvar or enkeids. It's already filled with an unending light. In fact, the text I have says, osher enkeids, with an unlimited happiness. He ba'alapech. That now comes to transform his sins into schuyot. Mikol hashkiyot, he motziyal limudim nisgavim. From every error that a person made in life, he's able to extract from it exalted lessons. umikol hahashpalot aliot nedarot. And from all the times he was brought low, not by other people, he lowered himself. We lower ourselves when we sin. Well, all the hashpalot, now he has aliot nedarot. Majestic ascents. Zoti atshuva she'enei kol eile nisuot. That's the tshuva that all our eyes are turned to. Shimuchrachat lavo v'shasafa lavo. That will come, that must come, and will come as well. This tshuva, which is the tshuva that Rabbi Yochanan, in the story in the Gemara, effected in Rish Lakish, a tshuva sichlit, chelech le'oraita, use your strength, use your passion for Torah. This tshuva is tshuva me'ava. It's the tshuva of Osher Ein Ketz. How so? Because from every mistake, we learn how to better ourselves. It's true we know in Talmud Torah. Ein Adam Omed al Divrei Torah El Im Kain Nichshal Behem Tchila. Who said that? Rish Lakish? No, it would be too simple if he did. It wasn't Rish Lakish, I think it was Rami Brachama. But nonetheless, the point's the same. You learn better, you make a mistake. You have a bad Svara. From a bad Svara, that's corrected. You have a better Svara. You understand even more. We learn and grow from our mistakes, from our errors, from our failures. So it comes out that our sin, even a Zadon, even a Mazid, deepened our, combined with tshuva, deepened our understanding of ourselves, Rav Kook says, and that became the catalyst for reaching great heights. So Rav Kook doesn't go outside the process of tshuva like the Marsha did, nor does he find these technical diyukim in the language, redefining the text to fit in Ava, fit in Yira. Rav Kook is very faithful to what's going on. See, he doesn't say this point about Rish Lakish. I'm just fitting Rish Lakish's two stories into the categories that he enunciated. What Rabbi Yochanan said to Rish Lakish is that if you are capable of rechanneling your energy, you're a different person. You're on the highest possible level, and that becomes Tshuva Me'ava. That's Donut Naslo Kizchuyot. It doesn't happen overnight. We shouldn't think a person will sin b'mezid. A person sins b'mezid, and all right, the tshuva, I love God, I'm aware of God, I sin, chatas, yevitzipasha, etc. And now what I did, it's a schus. Yeah, not so fast. All right. Tshuva me'ava, from this perspective, to reach a level of osher ein ketz, all right, where zdonot nase lo kishkagot, that happens over the course of a lifetime. It doesn't happen from one year to the next. It happens from an accumulation of understanding of our nature, of what the Torah wants from us, of our capability of sin, and primarily our capability of overcoming sin, dominating our nature, recognizing God as the reality and drawn to that reality with a powerful, awesome love that bespeaks no type of distance at all. It's that tshuva where zdonot nasa k'schuyot, because without the failure, without the step into the ditch, you never could have climbed the mountain. That's what Rav Kook is saying. That's what Rish Lakish is saying. It turns out, if I'm correct, Rish Lakish started on the level of the tshuva tivit nafshit. But then when he encountered Rish Lakish here, he was overcome by tshuva me'ava, and he became a different person as well. I want to wish you, I want to thank you all for coming. Of course, you had to be here, but nonetheless, I want to thank you for coming and wish everyone a Gemara Chatima Tova. And anyone has any questions, we'll be happy to answer them. And I hope to see you again very shortly.